Broadcasting live from Whole Foods Market at Kimball Junction, it's KPCW's This Green Earth with our annual special Sundance edition. I'm Nell Larson.
And I'm Chris Cherniak. Whole Foods periodically donates 5% of their daily proceeds to worthy nonprofit causes around town, part of their community service and a way of giving back to a community which helps support them.
And today, Whole Foods is donating that 5% of proceeds to KPCW Radio. So for the next 2 hours, we'll be broadcasting from the cafe and speaking with directors, participants, and players who help make up the Sundance Film Festival, including some program and film directors.
That's right. We've got interviews lined up with the directors of three Sundance documentaries, including Michael Rosada Bennett, director of Alive Inside, A Story of Music and Memory.
Todd Miller, the director of Dinosaur 13, about the world's greatest dinosaur discovery.
Mark Grieco, director of Marmato, an intimate portrait of the Colombian gold mines.
And in addition, we'll speak with Trevor Groth, director of programming for the Sundance Film Festival.
That's right. Jerem Rowland, manager of music programming for Sundance, will give us a rundown on some of the music cafes and scheduled entertainers coming to both Park City and Salt Lake City these next 2 weeks.
And of course, we'll be speaking to Travis Harkness, the marketing specialist here at Whole Foods.
And finally, last but not least, we'll talk to KPCW's own Rick Bruff. He'll share with us his views on the history of both the films and the festivals he's covered. I'm sure there's some good stories behind that.
That's right. We have a chock full show today, but we're going to start out
Let's get going.
Yeah, let's not waste any time. Let's start out with Travis Harkness, the marketing specialist here at Whole Foods. Travis, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for being here, you guys.
So why don't you start by telling us a little bit about how long you've been here at Whole Foods and your role?
Well, I've been with the company for almost 3 years now. I started with Whole Foods Market in Fort Collins, Colorado, a little bit north of Boulder. Was there for 2 great years and was offered the opportunity to transition into a role here in Park City, and it was a quick and easy decision for me.
That's great to hear.
Really? Okay, so tell us a little bit about what 5% Day is.
So basically we reserve some funds for donating 5% of our sales once a quarter to a worthy nonprofit, and KPCW, I find to be extremely vital to the community in terms of facilitating and maximizing exposure for the rest of the nonprofits in the community.
Okay, so 4 times a year you give 5% of one day's proceeds to, like you say, a worthy nonprofit. We thank you for allowing KPCW to be one of those nonprofits. Now, what's going on here at Whole Foods during Sundance? Anything special or any?
Other than hundreds of people descending on the store all at once?
Oh, it's really just, this is one of the more exciting events that we'll have going on. Beyond that, it's really just trying to create a pleasant customer experience for the very, very large load of people that are cycling through the store, that's for sure.
Okay.
You must have to anticipate the number of people coming and stock up on all of the provisions.
Indeed. A lot of water, a lot of high-end meats and specialty cheeses, and a lot of those. We've got plenty for everybody.
Extra Chilean sea bass.
Indeed.
Okay. Who else might you say over the years has benefited from your 5% days?
There's been different public schools have been the recipients, nonprofits benefiting animals, and the food bank here in town.
Oh, okay.
And like I said, I've only been here for 2 of these,
right.
So I'd have to do my research in terms of remembering beyond that.
Well, we'll be chatting with you again
at
the top of the second hour, and we can talk a little more about that. But you've been here with Whole Foods for 3 years?
Indeed. I've been here since May, since this past summer.
Okay. What drew you to Whole Foods?
Honestly, it is just such a mission-based company. They do a lot of things the right way. They are Green Mission based. They maximize their recycling and they really are a mission driven company. As large as they are, and they're, you know, constantly growing, I think that they have their head in the right place and dictate and really provide vendors and support vendors that are like-minded. So right. All of the vendors that we carry within the store share these same green and conscious goals.
Okay.
Well, fantastic. As an environmental radio show, that's definitely something that we support. So thank you for joining us, and we'll be talking to you again in just under an hour.
Great. Right. Well, thanks for the opportunity. It's been fun.
All right. That was Travis Harkness. He's the marketing specialist for Whole Foods Market. You know, let's take a break or so for a couple underwriters, and we'll have our next guest come on. It'll be Trevor Gruff. He's the director of programming at Sundance. It's the Sundance special of This Green Earth. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after these words from our underwriters.
This is Alex Knapp from the law offices of Jones, Waldo, Holbrook, and McDonough, a longtime supporter of KPCW. Jones, Waldo has been serving clients in Summit County since 1875. We can be reached at 435-647-5975 or on the web at joneswaldo.com.
Hi, this is Reese DeMille with Republic Services, your local source for recycling and garbage services and a proud sponsor of KPCW's This Green Earth. Recycling in Summit County is improving. The trick to remember? Recyclable materials go in your larger blue or brown bin, and gray is for garbage. Recycling helps keep Summit County clean. SummitCountyRecycles.org.
Rocky Mountain Power is proud to support KPCW and This Green Earth. Rocky Mountain Power offers watt-smart advice such as avoiding the use of large appliances like a washer or dryer between 2 and 8 p.m. because it helps reduce energy demand and keeps costs down for all of us. More ways to save energy at wattsmart.com.
Park City Restore is grateful for the many hands that have made it successful. Your gift of time means more affordable housing services are available locally through Habitat for Humanity. Plus, volunteering at the Restore gives you a first look at the amazing treasures donated for resale. Learn how you can get involved at habitat-utah.org. Click on the big yellow volunteer button. Habitat for Humanity of Summit and Wasatch Counties is a nonprofit organization.
Welcome back to a special edition of This Green Earth, Sundance edition. I'm Chris Cherniak, Nell Larson, co-host of our typical show, This Green Earth, every Tuesday, 9 a.m. But every Sundance, we get the chance to do a little special broadcast from live from the Whole Foods Cafe down here at Kimball Junction on their 5% day. We thank them for that. And we get to speak to a lot of interesting people, including Trevor Gruff. He's the director of programming at Sundance. And Trevor, we want to thank you for taking the time to chat with us on, I'm sure, a very busy day for you.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
So Trevor, we think you have one of the most interesting jobs in the world. Tell us a little bit about how you got to this position and your background with film.
Yeah, well, I'll start off, you know, director of programming means I'm in charge of the staff and the selection process for choosing all of the films that get into the festival. And it is a very lucky job to have. I never take it for granted. I lived in Salt Lake City when I was growing up, and that's when I first started going to the Sundance Film Festival when I was in high school. And I fell in love with the world and the films and knew that I wanted to work in and around these kind of films. So when I was in college at the University of Utah, I did an internship with the Sundance Institute, and I met the programming staff there from the festival, and we clicked. I think we had some good chemistry. I worked up at the labs that they do up at the Sundance Resort that Redford started originally, was how Sundance originally got started. And then they hired me to start programming the short films and the midnight films. So many years ago.
Are those low-hanging fruit?
Well, you know, they're the crazy ones, you know, and I always gravitated towards those more bizarre stories. And it was great. It was a great entry position into the programming staff, which is something that I knew I wanted to do. And I've just sort of, that was in 1993. I started doing that. And then I just kind of rose up through the ranks there, and I became director of programming, I think, 5 years ago now.
Right. But again, it started as an internship.
Yeah.
So many things. I just want to get involved. How do I do it?
Yeah. I definitely said, I went into the office and said, what can I do? I'm willing to work for free. And I think I started hanging posters. I was out front, like, checking names off lists of the parties, you know, just standing out there in the cold, you know, doing whatever it took.
And it was a great perseverance.
That's right.
And you still work for free.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, that didn't change. Yeah, no, we're a nonprofit, you know. That's the deal.
So among other things, you helped select, you say select the films, but you also select a jurist.
Correct.
And I'm interested in that. How does that process unfold?
We have five competitions at the festival. Four feature competitions, one for U.S. Dramatic, U.S. Doc, one for World Dramatic, one for World Documentary. And also a shorts jury as well. And those are chosen, you know, we just want a diverse range of opinions, you know, on the juries. And, you know, there's five people on the U.S. ones and three on the world and on the shorts. And within that, we put on directors, producers, animators, actors, you know, and you just try to get a range, even critics. We have Leonard Maltin, who's, you know, one of the most established critics. He's on our jury this year. So, and it's always fascinating. You never know. It's a subjective choice, which films win the award. And I think who's on the jury is going to have it would change, depending on who the jury was each time. But I love that for that.
Does the jurist change each year?
Yes.
So you rotate?
Yeah. Yeah, we try not to repeat. I think we've only repeated two or three over the 20 years I've been doing
really?
This. Yeah.
Wow. So how many films do the jurists watch every year, or do you watch every year?
Well, the juries watch 16 in the U.S. competitions and 12 in the world competitions and 60-something on the shorts. And they all watch them all up here at the festival with audiences. And I watch probably over the course of a year, about 1,000 films to get to the 120 that we have here at the festival. Yeah.
So that's the effort to whittle down the films that are submitted.
Yep. Yeah, and submissions, I watch about 1,000, but we get submitted about 4,000 features in all of the different categories and about 8,000 short films.
So over 10,000 total, of which maybe 100, you said 120 or...
I think with shorts, it's about 180.
180, so one in 50.
Yeah.
Film, your chances are like one in 60.
Yeah, it's competitive, you know.
That's grown over the years.
It grows nearly every year. And I think that just speaks to the vitality out there in the filmmaking community and how, the access to the tools to tell their stories, how available they are now with digital cameras and home editing software, and it's great. I think, I think the more people out there are trying to tell their stories, I think the better the quality is.
How have you seen the festival change over the time that you've been the director of programming?
It's funny, sometimes I'm the worst person to ask that question of, because I'm on the inside and I've been a part of it for so long. It sort of has grown up sort of around me, because I know we still program the films the same way we always have. We showcase the kind of artists that we always have. And so for me, the heart of the festival has remained the exact same for over these 20 years I've been doing it. When I do take a step back and I look at it, I think just the scale of it has grown. You know, we do have more and more people that do come every year. And I think the impact of the films out there in the world has shifted. You know, when I was first starting, I kind of had to explain what an independent film was, like out there in the walking on the streets and when I tell people what my job was. And I think that has shifted. I think now just about everyone has a sense of what an independent film is. And I think that maybe is the biggest change.
And how about the international entries? I mean, you must be getting, they must increase.
Yeah.
You know, in a fold every year.
Yeah, that's probably where the number, percentage-wise, where the biggest increase comes from is internationally, because Sundance has now become, that's another thing. I used to, when I would travel to different countries scouting for films, I would, a lot of explaining, you know, kind of what Sundance was all about, what we were doing. And again, like, I don't have to do that at all anymore. And there's a real, I think, hunger for filmmakers out there making the kind of films, the kind of truly independent films, even within their countries, that want to be associated with Sundance and know what Sundance can do for them is launching careers and getting their films seen by a wider audience. So, our World Dramatic Competition is where you can find actually really some of the most interesting films in the festival, because you get these exciting voices from regions that you might never seen before.
Right, right.
Well, we know this is going to be a tough question, but what are some of the films this year that have caught your attention or different or interesting?
You know, it's every year... I think we have some really great standouts in specific sections, but I think our depth of quality in all the sections is as high as it's ever been. But I think I will say, you know, there's one film that was our last film programmed. It's a film called Boyhood by Richard Linklater that he filmed over the course of 12 years with the same actors, and it creates one of the most unique viewing experiences I've ever had. It's a really special film. We're proud to have it in the festival, and then I also always steer people towards maybe some films that aren't as you know, they don't have the high profile actors or directors attached to them. So for me, I always look to the next category, which is something we started about 4 years ago, which is started out as sort of a showcase of, you know, cool low budget films, and it's taken on an identity of its own outside of budget. It's like really like these bold, distinct visions, and I really love these films. There's one I have to point out called Land Ho, about these retirees who go on this road trip through Iceland, and it is one of it was one of the most joyous moments of my programming process was watching this film, and I just fell in love with these guys. I love the film so much.
Well, I know we only got a couple of minutes, but I'm curious. Richard Linklater is a well-known director.
Yeah.
So how does someone like that produce an independent film?
Yeah.
What is the boundaries there?
Well, you know, we do have our different sections. We have our premieres category, which is where Boyhood is playing. And it's that's for the more established filmmakers. But Even those films are independent. They're made outside of the studio system, which is how we sort of would classify an independent film. You know, it's not like made by Warner Brothers or 20th Century Fox or Universal. They are independent films. You know, Linklater, you know, he's been an independent director. He has made a couple studio films, but I think his voice is always independent. And you know, and then one of the things I'm really excited about this year is our New Frontier section, which is our category that explores the cross section between art, technology, and storytelling. And I think this year it is peaking. You know, it's always been sort of a forward-thinking section, and I think this year now the work has sort of caught up to the concepts, and I think some of the things on display this year are going to really dazzle people. We've got The Source, which is made by Doug Aiken, who's a real art star right now. He made this standalone structure that's going to be in Sweet Alley, just off Main Street, that you'll see it when you're there, and it's this immersive environment where you go in, and it's all of these different people from all different, like, artists, writers, architects, talking about the source of creativity. And then, you know, then we have other installations down at the Gateway Center. And that's where our New Frontier base is going to be. That I think all of that's going to create a really great energy at the festival.
Fantastic. Well, Trevor Groff, the director of programming at Sundance, thanks so much for joining us. If people want to learn more about all those things, they can obviously go to the website.
Yeah, website, www.sundance.org.
All right, and when these 2 weeks are done, you start in 2014.
Yeah, and then we start gearing up for Sundance London in April. So
it never stops.
No.
The sun never sets. That's
right. We'll keep dancing.
Sorry, I had to say that. All right, Trevor. All right. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks a lot.
Hey, let's take another quick break. Just a couple underwriters, and when we come back, we'll talk to Jerem Rowland. He's the manager of the film music programming for Sundance. It's KPCW in This Green Earth. Stay tuned.
This is Eric Lee, attorney in the Park City office of Jones Waldo. As a Park City resident for 20 years, I'm proud to support KPCW. Jones Waldo provides legal services to residents of Summit County in many areas. 435-200-0085. JonesWaldo.com.
This is Reese DeMille with Republic Services, your local recycling and garbage services provider and a proud sponsor of KPCW. Summit County residents are recycling more and more, currently nearly 6 million pounds per year. Recycling helps keep Summit County clean. SummitCountyRecycles.org.
Welcome back to This Green Earth Special Sundance Edition. Nell Larson to my left. I'm Chris Cherniak, and joining us is Jerem Rowland. He's the manager of film music programming for Sundance. Is that correct, Jerem?
Yep.
Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
It's been close. So you've got a lot. We got your list.
There's a bunch going on musically, yeah.
And obviously different venues, different days.
But give us an overview of the music program at Sundance. What pieces are there to this puzzle?
Well, so year-round we support composers, film music programs, similar to how the Institute supports screenwriters and directors. We also have programs for composers. But here at the festival, we bring together a whole bunch of music, and it's kind of confusing, so I'm just going to lay it out for you guys.
Perfect.
The main place for music, official music at Sundance, is the Festival Music Cafe. which is Rich Haynes' gallery here in town, 751 Main Street.
Okay.
And there's two activations there. During the day is the Sundance ASCAP Music Cafe, which is a program that has been going on here at the festival for, I think, 15 years now. And they've really kind of defined official music at the festival.
And the ASCAP stands for?
The American Society of Composers, Authors, and Publishers.
Okay.
Yeah, so they're an amazing guild for singer-songwriters. They've been around for, I think this is their 100th year anniversary of ASCAP, actually.
So wow.
They bring out a lot of artists to us that have an interest in connecting with the film community, connecting with directors, and so it's really exciting. That's during the day. Mm-hmm. Doors open at 1:30 p.m. for that, and we run shows from 2 to 6. And we usually do 4 or 5 acts a day. The most current schedule is online. As you know, rock and roll, people drop out. We book people left and right. We're
really?
Booking people still. Yeah, really, right?
You guys still booking.
They just don't show up.
Sometimes they don't show up. Sometimes new people show up, right? Yeah. So, and then in the evening, in that same space, back for the second year is KCRW, who, you know, at the local LA radio station.
Yes.
In addition to their broadcast piece that they're doing, they also help us produce 3 nights of live music at the Music Cafe, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Okay. Fantastic. So who are some of the highlights?
So some of the highlights during the day, Robert DeLong is this amazing electronic artist from Seattle. He's about to blow up. You know, the showcase for ASCAP is really a discovery showcase, kind of mixed in with some, you know, iconic players. But really it's people who are on the verge of breaking out. And I think Robert's a big one.
I agree. I actually listened to several of these artists. He was one of them.
Yeah.
I like his sound.
He's extraordinary.
Kind of one-man electric band, as he
described. Yeah, his live show is really unique. The Mowglis have a big hit out on radio right now. San Francisco is their single. Really great. For the country fans, we have this amazing CMA songwriters in the round, the top 3 CMA songwriters of the year, including Brandi Clark. They're all going to play, and Leanne Womack, the country legend, diva extraordinaire, is going to sing with them. Sarah Lee Guthrie, Woody Guthrie's granddaughter, has a new act. She's going to be playing there. A couple things related to the film program. Years and Years is fronted by Ollie Alexander, who's starring in God Help the Girl, Stuart Murdoch from Belle and Sebastian, his film. It's okay. In a world competition. Ray Spoon is the artist featured in the world documentary competition film My Prairie Home. So those are some, you know, there's so many. 4 to 5 acts a day. So anyone, come down, check out one set all day.
Sandra Lurch.
Sandra Lurch, yeah. Amazing.
Nope. If only for his tune Phantom Punch.
Right.
Probably the one of the best pop songs of 2012. He's a great artist.
He's a great artist, and he's the composer on Sleepwalker, the film.
At
the festival, yeah.
So how do you go about choosing all of the... I mean, obviously, there are countless artists out there. How do you get it down to 4 to 5 acts a day?
Well, you know, it's people that really want to come out and, again, connect with the film community. Loretta Munoz from ASCAP, who's the producer of the showcase, has been doing it for so long. Again, these are artists who really want to connect with the film community. Come out, have fun with us at Sundance. And
are they applying like the films are, or are they selected?
They're selected, yeah. But, I mean, we do have, you know, so many people want to come play for us. The other two things, music-wise, that go on at the festival...
We got sidetracked there.
Our official kind of key tentpole event, if you will, is called Celebration of Music and Film, which happens Sunday night at the Sundance House. And that's a program produced by the Film Music Program here at Sundance that's all film-related artists. And this year, it's going to be extraordinary. Ray Spoon is going to open for us from My Prairie Home. And then the artist from Lowdown, which is a film in competition at the festival celebrating the life of jazz legend Joe Albany. We're going to do a jazz set to him featuring Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers, the composer Ohad Telmore, and Elle Fanning will be doing a reading live at that event as well. And then the Fela Band is going to be playing to top it all off that night from Alex Gibney's documentary about Fela Kuti. For that evening, so
fantastic. Well, it's in a great list. It all starts tomorrow.
Kicks off tomorrow at 1:30.
And like you say, there's typically 5 acts during the afternoon.
4 or 5 acts. KCRW has about 2 or 3 acts each night, and these are open to all credential holders and public if space allows. So
you don't need to buy a ticket in advance.
You do need to have credentials. We give priority access to credentials, yeah,
okay.
But there's no tickets for all the Music Cafe stuff. So we
okay.
get packed in there, though,
yeah.
That's for sure.
Yeah, I've experienced that. So
it's
let's
warm.
Talk a little bit about the role of music in film. I think it's something we overlook a lot. You hardly realize that there's music going on in the background of the film.
Well, I think that's a good thing when you hardly realize right. it, right? Because you want that synergy between, you know, music is just one of the tools that helps create a successful film. And a good composer is someone who's going to work with the vision of the director, come in there, be a team player, and not take over, not have to have their style, if you will, and really be a tool of creativity to lend to the overall vision of the film. And yeah, you're seeing a really amazing trend where a lot of different unique artists are scoring films. A lot of rock artists, a lot of pop artists are now kind of getting in the film music game alongside these traditional composers, as we saw the Golden Globe winner, Alex Ebert, just won, you know, from Edward Sharp and the Magnetic Zeros, and, you know, right, alongside composers like Hans Zimmer. It's really like an open field in terms of film music these days. It's extraordinary.
How did you get involved in all this?
You know, I've been working for the Institute on and off for about 10 years, and I started actually running the Music Cafe a couple years ago, and then transferred over to film music. I'm an old musician myself and a composer, so it's just sort of a natural fit. I've always kind of been the music guy here at Sundance, and as we've grown bigger and bigger, I've just kind of, you know, bitten off more than we can chew.
Who have you seen in past years that have used this festival as a springboard to bigger and brighter things?
Oh, my goodness. You know, we had an artist, Mike Posner, a couple years ago who played at the Music Cafe and then went on to have, you know, like two number one hits that same year. The Civil Wars came through a couple years ago, an extraordinary act, and we actually connected them with a filmmaker there, and they scored a film that came back to the festival, and I, for the life of me, can't remember.
Right.
But we've made a few really, really great connections, and that's, again, what this is about, is connecting musical artists with directors and screenwriters. And
I can't understand why any music artist would turn down the opportunity to play at Sundance.
Yeah, I know.
Or not show up or suddenly have a change in their schedule. I need to be in Boise.
Busy with something else.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Something better came up. There's so much music happening at the festival. It's really great.
Yeah.
So tell us, you're based in LA, is
mm-hmm.
that right?
Yep. Yeah.
But you mentioned before the show you're actually from here in Utah.
Yes, I am. I'm actually from Orem, Utah. I'm a Utah County boy through and through. Trevor and I both are Utah natives,
right.
So yeah.
Locally grown,
which is so exciting for us to be able to, you know, come back here and do this event locally year to year.
Well, Jerem Rowland, he's the manager of music programming for Sundance. Again, thanks for sharing with us. Great list of entertainers coming starting tomorrow. At 751 Main Street. One location, another location, 51 Main Street, mm-hmm. Park City. And in Salt Lake City?
Yes, there's a Salt Lake City Cafe, yes, as well. Check online for their listing as well.
All right. You'll see Jeremy Messersmith, The Wind and the Wave, Richie Sambora.
Yeah, Richie Sambora we added.
Savoy Dour.
There's some really, yeah.
Monarch,
yes.
Sludge Doom Metal.
Yeah, some Doom Metal.
I don't even know what sludge.
I don't. Yeah,
is
I know
doom
these
metal,
new
but
categories.
You can kind of imagine.
You have to add
yeah,
sludge.
To
it's like
sludge.
Drudge, doom. Yeah, these categories—they're getting out of control.
That's tomorrow. All right. Thanks.
Hey, thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, I want to look forward to listening. And people can go online. Real quick.
They do. That's where the most current schedule resides. Is online on our online film guide, sundance.org.
Perfect.
All right.
Thanks again for joining us.
Hey, thank you guys for having me.
All right, let's take a quick break for some underwriters, and we come back. The show continues.
That's right. We'll
guest.
Be speaking with Michael Rosato Bennett, director of Alive Inside, a story of music and memory.
Rocky Mountain Power is proud to support KPCW and This Green Earth. Rocky Mountain Power Watt Smart New Homes Program offers incentives for building a new energy-efficient home that can help you enjoy year-round comfort, higher resale value, and lower energy bills. To learn more or find a builder in your area, wattsmart.com.
Park City Restore is grateful for the many hands that have made it successful. Your gift of time means more affordable housing services are available locally through Habitat for Humanity. Plus, volunteering at the Restore gives you a first look at the amazing treasures donated for resale. Learn how you can get involved at habitat-utah.org. Click on the big yellow volunteer button. Habitat for Humanity of Summit and Wasatch Counties is a nonprofit organization.
Welcome back to KPCW's This Green Earth. I'm Nell Larson, and that's Chris Cherniak to my right. And across the table from us this morning is Michael Rosato Bennett, the director of Alive Inside, a story of music and memory. Michael, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, we're happy to have you here today. So tell us a little bit about your film.
My film is a journey that I took, and it wasn't just me. We went into nursing homes, and I was actually asked to just make a short little teeny one-minute film for Dan Cohen, who was a gentleman who was volunteering in nursing homes, and he was bringing people music who had dementia. And he was the difference about what he was doing was he was bringing music from the past of these people with dementia. And, I mean, I was a little scared going into nursing homes. I don't know if you've ever gone into nursing homes, but they're an overwhelming experience. I mean, my stepfather very recently was at the end of his life, and he started to have dementia. And we had to, even my own enlightened family, we sort of just fell into this idea of, like, oh my God, we have to go into a nursing home, and we have to do this, and we have to do that. And it's like a big machine that, like, almost all of us Americans just, we end up having to make this decision, you know? Do we put this person who we love, who made our life, do we put them in this place? And we have no option, really. We can't take them in our house. Anyway, I'm getting off track here, but...
Right.
So I went into these places, and I saw all of these people. I mean, we're not talking... There are 1.6 million people in nursing homes right now.
Wow.
And nursing homes are amazing places, too, in that they serve us. They provide services that we can't do ourselves. But there's this... But are they the best places for the people that we love?
Right.
Or do they need to be changed? You know? And so I went in and I saw all of these people just literally sitting in the hall, some of them, especially those with dementia, literally in their own little worlds, like literally lost with no sort of way to connect to the outside world and no real way for people to connect to them. And then, so, I mean, I'm a filmmaker and... You give me a little job and I'll do it. And I went in, I set up my cameras.
You're making a 2-minute film here.
A 1-minute.
A one-minute film.
Just something
it's
to
half of 2 minutes.
Literally 60 seconds of film here.
Okay, I'll get off job. But I can't even understand how you create an arc.
You're
story
right.
Arc in 1 minute.
The idea was that Dan was trying to create a website and we just literally wanted to put a couple things on there, the website,
okay,
to show what he was doing. Because people couldn't understand what he was doing. Mm-hmm. So. Well, this is the strangest thing, the most amazing thing. The first person who I saw get their music from their past was Henry Dreyer. And I don't know if you know that, but I put together a clip of that moment, mm-hmm, and it went viral worldwide. People all over the world have seen Henry. And what everyone in the world felt is what I felt. You know, I saw a man who literally had not lifted his head in like 10 years. Mm-hmm. I saw him like slowly, almost infinitesimally, like awaken, like come back to life. And what happens with Alzheimer's is and certain forms of dementia, is, you know, basically your brain kind of erases itself from right, top to bottom. And that's the key thing, is that like down at the base, at the bottom of our brain, you know, is our emotional self, is our movement self, is our deepest sort of memories. And if you can excite that place way down deep inside of our brains, like, the phenomenal thing about music is that it records inside of our minds in an, like, almost in a holographic manner. Mm-hmm. So when many, many pathways are dissolved, like, there are pathways that we haven't used for decades sometimes, mm-hmm, I mean, multiple decades, that if you can create an emotional response, it will find those pathways. And Henry, in front of my eyes, like, woke up. And not only did he wake up, this is the phenomenal thing. Is, I mean, I don't know if you've seen this clip, but this 94-year-old man experienced his music on a level that was far more profound than I had ever experienced music in my life. And I'm an artist, and I'm a musician, and, you know, when I mean, that was really one of the most amazing things for me of all, was
right,
to be challenged by these people that I thought were gone, that had no further use for anyone or even themselves, and then to see this, like, you have to see Henry. You have to see him, because he is a poet, and an alive human being far beyond like anyone else in that whole place.
Right.
Yeah.
And he was lost, and all it took to wake him up was to give him a little piece of his own vibration, of his own life, of his aliveness. And that's what, and after that moment, literally, I was like, I'm making a film.
I was just going to ask, how long did it take for you to decide, okay, this is more than 1 minute, this is... this is a feature-length documentary.
When you're a documentary filmmaker, you're shooting and you're looking and you're waiting for that moment that elicits a kind of a body response from you that says, this is something that can move people down in their guts. And when you find that place, you know you have a film, you know? And that first day of filming, I cried five times. Five times. I never cry, you know, because... there is something so central to all of us human beings that we all know deep inside of us that there's so much more inside of us than we get the chance to really express.
Right.
And I felt like that's really what people were reacting to when they saw Henry.
What was the song? What was the music that you played?
I played some Cab Calloway for him. And Cab Calloway was literally his dude. When he was a kid,
you could have played Duke Ellington and gotten no response, or you know, or something.
Right,
else.
And we
you
were,
just happened to.
Yeah,
things came together.
Exactly,
song and the right person.
Song, brain, person, and this is the amazing gift of this whole idea of bringing music to people, and what Dan has created this organization called Music and Memory, And what the dream is, and why I'm so thrilled that I mean, you know, I almost didn't apply to Sundance because I was like, oh my God, they'll never take me
right.
A film about Alzheimer's and music that I was like, it's $100, you know?
Yeah.
What? That's it?
$100 is $100.
I mean, $100. Maybe I should like, you know, I got two kids, but I mean, the fact that Sundance. Like, really my dream, okay? I'm not a kid. I'm 52 years old, okay? I'm at the point in my life where, like, when I saw this and I said, if I do this, I can change life for the better, even if it's just in a small way, for, like, millions of people, really.
Right.
You know, and I think that's what's fueled Dan and his journey as well. It's like, you know, it's like this wind behind us. Like, if we... sort of can get people behind this and bring them into it. You know, it's like, I don't want to just give people music. I want people to be inspired and go by themselves to visit these people and create those connections and relationships.
On
right.
Their own.
It's interesting. My parents are in an assisted living facility and fortunately, you know, both of them are there and they have each other. But otherwise, it is it can be a very dreary, it's an institutional setting. And the one thing I notice is that there is no music played. They will sit there at lunch or at dinner in a nice cafeteria setting, and it's just quiet.
Oh, my God.
And I, one thing I was like, why is there at least not some music playing, you know, maybe, like, again, some music from their time as background? The hell? I mean, is that what you experienced as you went into other places?
The thing is that basically, the nursing homes have gone through tremendous evolutions. They're only about 50 years old. But, you know, at first they were this phenomenal business. They were a great business for a lot of people, and there were a lot of scandals and things that happened. So there was a lot of reform.
Mm-hmm.
And there was using of restraints, there was use of drugs, things like that, which are pretty much we've reformed out of that. And one of the greatest tools we have is music.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everybody in the nursing home industry knows that. There's music, you know, on Friday night, people come in and play some songs. Or there's music piped in, usually in cafeterias. Usually there is music.
Okay.
You know? Chris, you got to make that happen now.
Yeah. I've asked.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
so I'm curious to hear more about Dan, the person that got you started on this track. How did he come to this realization?
You know, I love Dan because Dan is really a very simple guy. He was trained as a social worker, and he got out of social work, and there were no jobs in social work. So he went to computer industry, and you know, he worked in the computer industry for 20 years. And then, you know, he loves music, and he loves computers, and he was sort of a computer educator. in his business. And so then what he did was he just started bringing music to people in nursing homes as kind of a volunteer. Mm-hmm. And it just, I mean, the stories that he has to say, like where, you know, there was this one guy who was in the Army, and he was incredibly like feisty, and nobody could change him, nobody could bathe him, and you know, he was just very angry. And so you know, Dan happened to go in and said, well, you know, what kind of music would he like? And the people that took care of him, who know him at this point probably better than anybody in the world, said, well, he was in the Army, maybe we could give him, during World War II, maybe we could give him some Army music or something. So Dan put together this compilation of military tunes, you know.
John Philip Sousa,
yes,
marching.
Exactly.
Military.
Okay. Right. And put it on this, he actually put it on the guy's head, and he walked away. He went downstairs to help somebody else, and he got a phone call. He said, Dan, come up here. And he ran up the stairs, and there was this guy who had been, you know, unmanageable, who was just literally standing absolutely erect with his face, like looking up into the sky, and his hand in a full salute. And he just was like, he was
transformed.
And they were able to bathe him, to give him, to care for him, you know. And you know, how can we bring, like, the people who work in nursing homes are amazing.
Oh, sure.
They are phenomenal people. Their capacity for love and the care they give to these people is, you know, they should be they should be honored.
Their patience is boundless.
But they're kind of inside of a system that ties their hands. You know, if you had to raise your children in a kind of institutional environment, it would be madness. And this is how we're, you know, more and more Americans are ending their life in that way,
so,
in institutions.
So in the film, you don't just look at these, you know, personal experiences or these experiences in the nursing home. You also talk to neurologists and scientists,
yes,
about what's happening. Tell us about that.
Well, I kind of told you a little bit about that before, but it's, you know, the music therapists for the last 50 years have known that music has these incredible powers. And, you know, one of the things I'm going to attack in my next film is all of these things that have no language for. You know, like, we have very limited language for music and what it does for us. We know we like it, you know, but it's what music does to us in our beings and communally. There are no words for it, and yet it is phenomenal. And actually, it's a technology that we don't use as deeply as we have in the past. In the past, we had people dancing together. We had, you know, traditions of people singing, and, you know, we're kind of more isolated in terms of the way we use music. So, the science of this is, it's still being discovered. But basically, part of the way Alzheimer's erases memory seems to spare a place called the prefrontal cortex. It's in the front of the brain, and this seems to be a place where both autobiographical memories and emotions kind of coexist. And so luckily this is spared, and these deep sort of root parts of the brain are spared, and this works together to create this kind of magic, literally magic moment that you have to see to believe. Because these are, I mean, this has changed my entire understanding of what it means to age and lose parts of yourself.
Right. I want to get to that in a second. We're speaking with Michael Rosato Bennett. He's the director of the documentary Alive Inside, A Story of Music and Memory. And Michael, when you decided to say, you know, this is more than a 1 minute film, this is a documentary, a full length feature. What's your learning curve at that point, as a documentarian? Like, you got to sit down. It's like, I have to first understand Alzheimer's and you know, the healthcare industry or so. I've got a lot of education going as a documentarian. Is that, you sit down and spend hours getting up to speed?
Well, I mean, you know, I think it took me 4 years to make this film.
Okay.
Okay, and I think if I had to make it over again, I could make it in 6 months. You know,
sure.
I mean, you know, there is this phenomenal learning curve that has to be gone over. And I mean, people like Dr. Oliver Sacks helped us.
Did he?
Dr. Connie Tamino, Dr. Bill Thomas, Dr. Al Powers. You know, these are amazing people who, you know, have tried to raise consciousness for people about music and also about nursing homes. Mm-hmm. Dr. Bill Thomas was a very important part of this whole thing. And he's actually invited me to participate in the Second Wind tour. He's written this amazing book called The Second Wind, and he's I think people should read him, because he has a lot to say about the way we age in America and the way we and I learned a lot from him.
Okay.
You know, so.
Okay. First film at Sundance?
Actually, first film at Sundance and first feature-length documentary.
No.
Wow. Yeah. Jumping in with both feet.
Must have been a good day when that you heard word that.
I mean, you can't imagine. I mean, it was literally like I'm here with my family. You know, my children get to see their dad, like, succeed, you know, this crazy. Yeah. Do you know, I made this film the first 2.5 years. I was making it in my bedroom. You know, my wife wanted to kill me. I had two guys working with me in my bedroom. I live in New York City.
That'll change the family dynamic.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that. I mean, this is a 4-year process.
Yeah.
I mean, at some points during that, along the way, you have to think, am I doing the right thing? Am I going the wrong direction? I mean, like documentary.
Never.
Never. Okay, so you never thought.
Never. Like, this is the thing about this, is my dream for this film, and what's, it's happening. It's actually happening. Like, we are going to change life, maybe just a small way, for these people. And it's such an accessible, simple thing. Mm-hmm. Like, there is no good news about Alzheimer's. None. This is the only film ever made that has good news about Alzheimer's. Mm-hmm. You know, and there's so many caring people out in this world that care about Alzheimer's and want to help and want to have some feeling of that they can help. You know, and that's why I have, like, right now in Wisconsin, the federal government has funded the first 100 nursing home study to see if personalized music can replace the overuse of antidepressant medication in nursing homes.
Wow.
And it's the answer is yes. So, you know, we can reduce drugs that shouldn't even be used on this population. We can inspire people like you. I mean, you know, after you, if you were, you know, after we have this conversation, you're going to go to your mom and your dad, and you're going to start this conversation. You're going to say, "Hey, mom, what music were you listening to when you were really young?
Right.
You know, what did you love?" And also you and I and everybody else, we can ask that same question about ourselves. And it's a phenomenal journey to go into your own experience of music. And so this is what I'm saying, is that why I had no doubt is because this is a simple, and it's also a technological solution. I want to get like the people from, you know, Silicon Valley to say, "Hey, you guys are amateurs. Let us help you solve this problem."
Right.
You know, how do we get this music to all of these people? You know, there's 5 million people in the United States with Alzheimer's. In 10 years, that number is going to come close to doubling.
Sure.
Okay. So this is on. There is not a single person who's listening to this who doesn't have somebody who's connected to this. And what we're trying to do is to give them a really beautiful tool, a really beautiful way to connect, you know, which is what we all need.
And a natural way, therapeutic way.
Yes.
I'm sure the pharmaceutical industry may, you know, take some exception to.
No, I think they should, honestly, I think the pharmaceutical industry should underwrite this whole thing. It's like, okay, come on, you know, I mean, I hate to say it, but in the nursing home population, their bloodstream is the most over-medicated bloodstream in the literal world. You know, there's fortunes literally. I mean, I'm probably gonna get shot for this, but there's fortunes being made on this captive audience.
Sure.
And that can't be. We can't do that.
So at this point, how many people have seen your full film? And then when's your first screening?
My first screening is this Saturday at 2 p.m.
Fantastic.
2:30 p.m. At the Sundance Film Festival. It's premiering. So you asked who has seen the film?
Yeah.
My editor, Mark DeMoller, and Manuel Tsingaris, my two editors, have seen the whole film, and me, and that's it.
Wow.
No one else in the world has seen the entire film. So
So this Saturday, it'll be premiering.
Yes.
And you'll be there to answer questions.
I will be there, and I look forward to being there. You know, one of my favorite things is I've shown a couple of rough cuts of the film, and when I get to see people after they see this film, you know, they're changed. They are literally, maybe it's only for 5 minutes, but these people are in a place. This film touches something. I don't know what it is, but it touches something. And something very, very human and very real.
And a couple more minutes. Plans to continue this theme in another film or so?
The next film I want to do is I want it to be an 8-hour film. And I want it to literally enlighten anyone who watches it.
Right.
I want it to, like, go into all of the deepest things that make us human. And you know, that's what I want to do. Probably nobody's going to ever give me the money to do that, but that's what I want to do.
A marathon film.
And, yeah, I want to do it in 3D as well. So we'll see.
Big ideas.
Okay. All right, Mike. And
so my second documentary will be 8 hours long.
8 hours long, yeah. In 3D.
Yeah, in 3D.
And it'll take less than 4 years.
Yes, it will.
All right, Michael Rosato Bennett, director of Alive Inside, A Story of Music and Memory. Fascinating subject.
Great.
Best of luck at the festival.
Yes. And it'll be, like you said, there'll be several airings during the...
Yes,
so congratulations for getting selected.
$100
is going to pay off.
Okay. And I'm just so grateful to the soul of the people at Sundance that they picked this film. You know, it just speaks... I'm not saying there's probably a million films... you know, just as good, but that they had the care to choose this. I'm very grateful.
Well,
fantastic. I'm sure they're grateful you decided to submit it.
Okay.
So it's a team effort there.
Yes.
So Michael Rosato Bennett, again, director of Alive Inside, A Story of Music and Memory, thanks for joining us here, and lots of luck. We want to let you know that every year one or two films comes out of these shows and gets awards. Jury or audience
That's
favorites.
That's right. So this is good luck.
Okay.
Knock
on my eardrum.
I'm sorry. I knock on that wood.
Okay.
So, all right, let's take a break for some underwriters. We come back, we'll finish up this hour. It's the special Sundance edition of This Green Earth. We'll be right back.
This is Alex Knapp from the law offices of Jones, Waldo, Holbrook, and McDonough, a longtime supporter of KPCW. Jones, Waldo has been serving clients in Summit County since 1875. We can be reached at 435-647-5975 or on the web at joneswaldo.com.
Hi, this is Reese DeMille with Republic Services, your local source for recycling and garbage services and a proud sponsor of KPCW's This Green Earth. Recycling in Summit County is improving. The trick to remember? Recyclable materials go in your larger blue or brown bin, and gray is for garbage. Recycling helps keep Summit County clean. SummitCountyRecycles.org.
Yeah.
Welcome back to This Green Earth, special Sundance edition, broadcasting live from Whole Foods. Today is the 5% day that Whole Foods is sponsoring for KPCW.
Right, so 5% of today's proceeds will go to KPCW. We thank Whole Foods for that. We also thank our first hour's guests. They are Michael Rosato Bennett, director of Alive Inside. We spoke with Trevor Groff. He is the director of programming at Sundance. Jerem Rowland, director of music programming at Sundance.
Some of the greatest jobs in the world.
Travis Harkness, yeah, he's the marketing specialist. He's going to join us again when we come back for the second hour. We'll be speaking to another couple of directors. They include Todd Miller, the director of Dinosaur 13, and Mark Grieco, director of Marmado.
And then we'll also be speaking to KPCW's own Rick Brock about his years of experience at the Sundance Film Festival.
The stories he can tell. So it's all of that on the second hour of the Sundance This Green Earth special. NPR News is coming up. We'll be back after that.
Additional funding for programming on KPCW has been provided by Longrimer Weiniger Bepler, Estate Planning, Family Law, LRW-LAW.com. Brett Stimson, Mortgage Assistant for Home Purchases, 801-201-3484. The Corporation for Public Broadcasting and listeners like you.
Lost and Found, traffic, weather, and local stories. Only in Park City only on KPCW. This is KPCW Park City.